We've got some unfinished business to cover here on the Locked On Giants podcast as we grade the Giants defensive and special teams units. That's coming up next on the Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode of the Locked On Giants podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and I owe you guys some more grades. Earlier in the week, we did offensive grades. On today's show, we're going to look at defense and special teams. So we're going to break down the various units and some of these grades, I don't know. Well, I'll let you be the judge of it rather than try and tip you off. So anyway, thank you so much for making us your first listen of the day or if watching on YouTube, your first watch of the day. Let's jump right into the defensive grades. And I'm going to start off with the defensive line. Now, this one was a tough one for me because I acknowledge that Dexter Lawrence had a phenomenal year. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about him in just a second. But after that, injuries came and played a part in, I think, lowering the grade. Now, I gave the defensive line a solid B. Because, like I said, Dexter Lawrence had a career year. So let's start there, and I'll kind of work my way back as to why, you know, what I didn't like about the defensive line and what I think the Giants need to do moving forward. So anyway, Dexter Lawrence, after, what, 3 years in the NFL, this coaching staff finally made the decision to move him to nose guard. Why the previous coaching staffs didn't do that, I have no idea. And you know what? It paid off moving him to nose guard. He had career highs in sacks, quarterback hits, total tackles, and tackles for a loss. He was a strong influencer. So even if he wasn't getting home because he was forcing the opponent to double team him, that opened up opportunities for other guys. I mean, Dexter Lawrence, and then against the run, the dude was just amazing. So I don't understand why it took, you know, so long to make this move. Why nobody really saw it until Wink Martindale and Andre Patterson, the defensive line coach, came in and said, hey, we're going to address this position. I mean, previously, Dexter Lawrence was playing defensive end, which, you know, he did well with. But moving him inside to nose guard, that's where it took off, folks. And Dexter Lawrence is now a Pro Bowler. He was voted the number one interior defensive lineman by his peers over the NFLPA. I mean, the postseason honors are just racking up for the guy, and rightfully so. Now, here's the thing, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit in just a little bit. The Giants really loaded up Dexter Lawrence's plate as far as snaps. And this is why, when I say I give them a solid B grade, the depth resulting from the injuries and whatnot, it was a problem. All right. Dexter Lawrence played, let me see, I think he played, let's see, in 2022. He was playing, I'm just looking for his defensive snaps here. I think he played in at least 80% of the snaps most weeks. So, you know, that's a lot. Okay, here it is. I've got it right here. So Dexter Lawrence was playing in 80% of the snaps, at least 80%, in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8, 9, 10, 11 games. And out of those 11, five of them, he played in over 90% of the defensive snaps. That is a big workload for the guy. And towards the end, they had to manage his practice reps because he was starting to get worn. And if the Giants want to, you know, have this young man around for a while, that number's got to come down. That's got to come down to like the 70s, you know. But that leads me into the next point, and that is the injury situation. And I'm going to start off with Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams, for the first time in his career, had a drop off largely due to injuries. He actually missed time due to injuries for the first time in his career. Leonard Williams is another guy that the Giants just really tried to bleed a lot out of because of the situation, the depth behind him. Now, with Leonard, in 10 games, he played at least 82% of the defensive snaps. In five games, 90%. The guy was banged up. He had a neck injury. He had a knee injury mid-year. He had, I think, a stinger at one point. Guy was banged up. So with the Giants potentially thinking about extending Leonard Williams, they better make sure they have a plan for some backup depth, which, to be fair, they did. But again, injuries popped up. So let's talk about some of that. Two guys that stepped in and who, you know, when they needed to give Dexter Lawrence or Leonard Williams a blow, played fairly well, were Nick Williams and the rookie DJ Davidson. Both of them suffered season-ending injuries. Nick Williams had the biceps and DJ Davidson tore his ACL. When those two guys exited the lineup for good, the run defense, every time Leonard and or Dexter came off the field, was just non-existent. It was disappointing. So if you're Joe Shane, granted, you can't do anything about injuries. I mean, they're going to study it. They're going to see what they can find out. But you want to add more in terms of defensive line depth. Even though the Giants under Wink Martindale mostly play two defensive linemen, you want to add more because their options after those two guys went down, Justin Ellis, who was a big disappointment, kind of reminded me a little bit of Danny Shelton from last year. Big body, you would think he would be easy to, you know, hard to block. And instead, he was just getting swallowed up by solo blocks. And, you know, there was that one block where Jason Kelce in the Eagles game basically stymied Justin Ellis, who outweighs Kelce by a good 50 pounds. I mean, what gives, you know? So, yeah, he's probably not going to be back, Justin Ellis. He's an unrestricted free agent, was here on a one-year deal. I don't see him being back. Ryder Anderson was another guy that they tried to plug in there. Now, Ryder Anderson wasn't too bad as a pass rusher. Run defense, on the other hand, had his adventures. So, and I think a lot of that was because Ryder Anderson just didn't have the functional strength. You know, he was a rookie, didn't have the functional strength. Now, he can build that up in the offseason. Maybe he improves against the run. But, you know, the injuries on that defensive line and the fact that, you know, they had to basically wear out Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams. And then you combine the inside linebacker issues with not filling run fits. That's why the run defense was so bad. So again, I do give the defensive line a grade of B because I can't, just based on Dexter Lawrence's performance, I just think that totally elevated everything. And injuries, I get it. You know, they happen. But there's no doubt in my mind that defensive line needs to be one of the areas the Giants address this offseason, be it in free agency or via the draft. Okay, let's now talk about inside linebackers. I'm giving that group an F. Weak spot on the team. And you know, look, there were a couple of things that were maybe redeeming, but I got to give that group an F. I'm sorry. there were some circumstances at the start of the season, right? Losing Darian Beavers to a preseason knee injury was a huge loss because that was a guy they were counting on. The situation with Blake Martinez, who they were also, contrary to popular belief, they were looking for Blake to step in and you know, provide that leadership and that stability at the position. And for circumstances that were beyond certain controls, that didn't pan out. So that left the Giants with Tay Crowder, who stepped in last year for Blake Martinez when Blake suffered the season-ending ACL. The problem with Tay Crowder was not only did he have his share of adventures against the run, in coverage, he wasn't consistent. It's just like, you know, he regressed. And I don't know if it was the scheme or whatnot, but Tay Crowder eventually lost his starting job to Jalen Smith, who they brought in mid-year. All right. Jalen Smith sort of stopped the bleeding a little bit, but there were still issues. So then the Giants, you know, paired up Jalen Smith with Micah McFadden, a rookie who has promise, but, you know, just didn't have the strength to shed blocks. All right. Then you go to Gerard Davis, whom the Giants poached off the Lions practice squad. And the problem with Davis is at that point, the Giants were so desperate to get inside linebackers who could fit the run lanes that they threw him in there. And I question whether Gerard Davis actually understood the defense as well as he needed to. If maybe they were just, you know, in panic mode at that point and just saying, look, you've got the skill set, fill in the holes, you know, fill in the gap that we need. So just an absolute mess. And look, when you look at the inside linebackers for the Giants, what other position can you name on this team where they had such a revolving door that was not a result of injury? Now, I did mention the Beavers injury. Okay. But Martinez was cut. So that wasn't a result of the injury. Tay Crowder was benched, not a result of an injury. Micah McFadden was ultimately benched, not a result of an injury. You know, so then you had Jalen Smith, like I said, and Gerard Davis come in. So that tells you everything you need to know about the problems of inside linebackers. Moving forward, the Giants need to get a guy who can be a downhill backer and who can run, who has some speed, get to side to side. Because how many times did we see the middle of the field so wide open? I mean, it got to the point where Wink Martindale was asking safeties to come down and play the position. Landon Collins, you know, Xavier McKinney. I mean, it was a mess. So, you know, all the positions on defense that just, you know, that are worthy of an F, inside linebackers, it. They get an F grade from me. All right, coming up, going to talk about outside linebacker, and we will talk about safety. So don't go anywhere. Hey, small business owners, if you're looking for the right people to help your small business fire on all cylinders, you need to check out LinkedIn Jobs. You can post a free job listing in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach the largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to let everybody know that you're hiring. Over 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn Jobs every week and are just waiting to find opportunities with employers like your business. With LinkedIn Jobs, simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience so that you can quickly determine who you'd like to hire and interview. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. Now, I've used LinkedIn Jobs myself to hire for my Giants Country site, and I can speak from experience. It really does work, folks. So check them out today. Visit linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL and post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Locked On Giants podcast. I am Patricia Traina, your host, and we're doing defensive grades and special teams grades. So now we're going to turn our attention to the outside linebacker or edge rusher position. And for this group, I gave this group a C+. All right. Again, this is another situation where I think injuries were a bigger problem. I mean, let's look at some numbers here. The Giants edge rushers accounted for 14 and a half of the team's sacks and 130 tackles. Not very overwhelming numbers, especially that sack total, when you consider that some of the premier pass rushers in the league can get 14 and a half sacks by themselves. Now, again, injuries were an issue here. So let's start off with Kayvon Thibodeau. Thibodeau had the knee injury to start off the season, came on slowly, didn't really wow people with the numbers. But here's where Thibodeau, in my opinion, stood out. He was an influencer for other things. All right. So his presence, for example, might influence, you know, a sack for a teammate or, you know, a hurry or something like that. So I don't think Thibodeau's rookie season was a complete washout. You know, the knee injury did set him back, but I think this young man got better and better as the season went on. And, you know, the best is still to come for him. I think if he learns a few more counter moves, he is, he's going to get better. And you pair him up with a healthy partner on the opposite end, and good luck picking your poison if you're an offensive line. Now, I mentioned a healthy partner on the other end. Azeez Ojulari dealt with lower body injuries all year long. If it wasn't the calf, it was a quad. If it wasn't a quad, it was an ankle all year long. Now, the ankle, you know, things happen again in a game. You turn your ankle, somebody rolls up on you. What I was concerned about with Ojulari, and I remain concerned with him, he put on a good 10 to 15 pounds of muscle in the offseason. And to me, when you start putting on muscle, I understand why he did it. He wanted to get bigger, stronger at the point of attack. But also that when you put on too much, that wreaks havoc with your ligaments and can put extra strain on it because now they have to support that muscle. And I wonder if maybe he put on the muscle a little too quickly, given the calf strain, given the quad injuries and stuff like that. I mean, getting stronger is one thing, but when you bulk up, I mean, usually as a player ages, they reduce their weight, they reduce their bulk because it makes them lighter on their feet and it takes less stress off of the joints. So I wonder if in his exit interview, if the coaching staff and the training staff just said to him, hey, you know, maybe trim down a little bit of the bulk that you put on because it, you know, you got to get this kid on the field. When he's on the field, he is as dynamic as they come. And he showed that. I think he had at least a half a sack in all but two games that he played in. You pair him up with a healthy Thibodeau next year and look out. They're going to, that group is going to be phenomenal. Now here's where the Giants kind of were missing. They did not have a solid third option. The closest they were able to come to was with Jihad Ward. Jihad Ward though, because of what was going on, I think up front in the defensive line, probably had to split some more time up front than maybe the coaches anticipated. So when Ward is playing up front, you know, and you don't have the third pass rusher. I mean, O'Shane Zimenez started off the year, looked good, but then he fizzled. Ellerson Smith, again, on injured reserve. I mean, we still don't know what he can bring to the table. So at the end of the day, the Giants, you can make the case that they have two solid pass rushers who, if they can stay healthy, can be a force. But can you sit here and tell me that they have a third guy? I can't say that. I can see edge rusher being another need for the Giants. Now, I don't know that they address it necessarily in free agency. I don't know where in the draft they would address it, but I fully expect them to add another edge rusher to this group, because I keep saying this. In 2007, 2011, the Giants were at least three deep on their edge rushers. And you were able to rotate, and you were able to, with the sub packages, just, you know, fire on all cylinders. They did not have that. All right. So if you have the offense having a tight end chip, you know, one of the edge rushers, or a running back picking up the blitz, and you don't have a good third guy there that can push the pocket and create disruption, then what are we doing? So the edge rushers, again, Thibodeau and Ojulari, definitely keepers. Ximenez is a UFA. I don't know that he's going to be back. Right now, if I had to take a guess, I would say probably not. I know they would like to have Ward back, but let's see what happens with Wink Martindale. If he goes to Indianapolis, I could see Ward following him there. Ellerson Smith at this point, if this kid can't stay on the field, then, you know what they say about availability, right? Being the best ability. And, you know, Ellerson Smith, even though he added a little upper body bulk, just it didn't help him with staying healthy. And if he's going to spend more time in the training room than on the field, you got to move on. Got to move on from this kid. So overall, yeah, outside linebacker, C+. Injuries, yes, were a problem, but so was a drop off in performance. You know, with Ximenez, and like I said, with the circumstances. I mean, to be honest, grading the defense because of the injuries and how they had to shuffle guys around, it's really hard. But just kind of looking at the overall production that they were able to get, that's how I'm trying to come up with these grades. So, I thought they could have gotten maybe a little bit more out of the edge group, but it is what it is. And I think they're going to look to upgrade it, because while sacks are not the be all end all number, they sure are nice to have. And I think Joe Shane, and assuming he comes back, Wink Martindale, would like to have more sacks from the edge rusher group than they did last year. All right. Up next, we're going to talk about the Giants safeties, and I'm going to give that group a B. I thought about giving him a B minus, but I'm going to give him a B. Let's go down the list. I got to start with Xavier McKinney. Xavier McKinney, prior to his hand injury, was showing to be one of the better safeties in the league. I mean, his instincts, his nose for the football, his physicality, all qualities that just made you sit up and take note of his game. Now, I know a lot of people soured on him because of the hand injury that he suffered during the bye week, which was just the unfortunate result of a mistake made by, you know, a young man. Now, it's interesting because McKinney's got one more year left on his contract. And you would think that if he had never had that accident, he would definitely be one of the guys they would look to extend this offseason. But something McKinney said on exit day, aka baggy day, has me thinking and has me wondering if the Giants might not wait until maybe the mid part of next season to start something with McKinney. McKinney said he was going to hang around the facility and continue his rehab on his hand, the hand that was injured in that accident, which to me would suggest that even though McKinney came back to play with a splint on that hand, the hand is not still where it needs to be. And I think if you're the Giants, you want to make sure that that hand gets as close as possible to being 100% before you invest further in this kid. So I'm not anticipating the Giants extending McKinney right away. Now, if they do, that means that they got a favorable report on his rehab, but that hand strength has to come back, because all too often McKinney was playing with just one hand out there. And for safety, that's not really what you want to do. But overall, you know, as a safety, McKinney just has everything you look for. If he can get that hand back to 100% or close to it, he's a keeper. Julian Love. I thought Julian Love was a solid player. He led the team with 124 total tackles. The coverage was a little off, but to be fair to Julian, he had to help out cornerbacks who maybe, you know, shouldn't have been starters, but had been pressed into starting action because of the injuries to Aaron Robinson and to Adoree Jackson. You know, a lot of times we look at, you know, the play of a safety and we say, you know, oh, that guy's not very good. But how much of it was a result of, again, because he was trying to cover up for overmatched teammates? So I tend to give Julian the benefit of the doubt there. I think there were some struggles with, you know, pairing up with cornerbacks. You know, it's a lot different if you're working with a healthy Adoree Jackson versus, you know, a rookie or maybe an overmatched Fabian Moreau, for example. So, you know, I do think Julian can get better in coverage. And considering he is an unrestricted free agent, I'm not 100% he comes back. And the reason why I say that is because of this next guy I want to talk about, Jason Pinnock, whose game I really liked. Jason Pinnock was one of the better blitzers they had from the defensive secondary. Did a great job, by the way, of disguising his blitzes. Good speed. He's a guy I could see potentially stepping in for Love at that box safety role. So, you know, I suspect if Julian Love's price tag soars a little beyond the Giants' tastes, I could see Jason Pinnock potentially competing to take over that role with, by the way, Dane Belton, the rookie that they had this year. Now, with Dane Belton, I think the big problem with Dane Belton was that because he missed most of the preseason and training camp, he never caught up to the speed of the game. You know, he was also lacking in a certain degree of physicality in his game, but he has good hands. And I just think, you know, once everything slowed down for him, that's when he started to, you know, show signs of being capable of playing this game. But, you know, there's much to be said when a player misses an entire, you know, training camp, especially when that player is a rookie. So I would give Belton the benefit of the doubt if I'm being, you know, straight with you. Belton, I think, does have a future. Now, whether that is as a starter, I would give the nod to Pinnock, but Belton can certainly play in sub packages. So I don't think, like I said, if they lose Julian Love, he's a fan favorite. He's a good guy. I get it, but I don't think it would be catastrophic if they lose him. All right. Tony Jefferson was another guy brought over from that had prioritized Wink Martindale down in Buffalo. Jefferson was a smart player. That's what he had going for him. Smart player, was always in the right position. Unfortunately, as a guy gets older, he loses his foot speed. And that's what happened with Jefferson. Got into the right position, but if you don't have the foot speed to keep up with the faster bucks in this league, you're going to be made to look silly. So I'm not so sure Jefferson is brought back. I think he was just a one-year kind of quote-unquote corporate trainer to help with the defense and getting the defense up to snuff. So, I don't think the Giants bring Tony Jefferson back, regardless if Wink Martindale is back as the DC. Landon Collins, fan favorite. I mean, everybody was thrilled to see Landon back. I know I was, because I know how much Landon loved being a Giant. The Giants, you know, I mentioned for the inside linebacker section how the Giants had safeties playing that inside linebacker role because that's how bad the inside linebackers were. That applied to Landon. Landon has always been a good box safety, but, you know, at this point, I don't know if Landon has a future, a long-term future with this team. I know the team, you know, I know he would like to be back. I know he would like to retire a Giant. And I suppose if he's willing to take a one-year veteran minimum deal, he'll get an opportunity to compete. But if you're the Giants, does it make more sense maybe to get younger and cheaper? Probably does. So, yeah, overall, B- for the safeties. You know, again, another position where injuries just totally mucked up the grades. I mean, if we were just going based on skill set and prior production, maybe they get a half grade more. I don't know, but tough one to call. Injury is really a problem on defense, probably more so than I think anybody's willing to admit. All right, coming up next, cornerbacks and special teams don't go anywhere. Hey, Giant fans, TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of doing your taxes, and they can file for you so that you can enjoy life without having to lose sleep at night over preparing and filing your taxes. That's right. With TurboTax, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish, ensuring that your taxes are done right, guaranteed, so that you can relax and focus on other things. Visit TurboTax.com/guarantees to learn more about their guarantee program. Video meeting is required during tax preparation. Intuit TurboTax, full service products only. See TurboTax.com for additional terms and conditions. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm your host, Patricia Traina, and we're doing defensive and special teams grades. And just a quick programming note, I know a lot of you have sent in questions for me to incorporate into the podcast. I do have the questions. I'm doing a mailbag over on Giants Country, so I'll pick up a few of them that are relevant, you know, or timely, I should say. They're all relevant, but the ones that are timely, I'll pick up a few of them and answer those in the Saturday morning mailbag at Giants Country. But please do keep sending the questions in, because I will have open slots in the upcoming shows, and I'll be able to work in some of those, your questions into the shows, you know, as part of the regular rotation. So if you want to send me a question, you can send them to me at Patricia_Traina with the hashtag AskPTrain. This way I can find it. Or if you check out the show notes, you can send it to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. That's our email. And I will pick them up, like I said, as there are time slots available in forthcoming shows. So looking forward to hearing from you. Let's get back to our grades with the cornerback position. Same story, folks. Injuries. But, you know, actually with cornerback, I gave this group a C. And I'm going to go back to the offseason, the 2022 offseason, when the Giants had to cut James Bradberry. Folks, I don't think the Giants ever really recovered from that move. I mean, James Bradberry, remember, they had to cut him due to salary cap issues. I don't think the Giants recovered from that. I don't think they had a guy on the roster who could really step in and pair up with Adoree Jackson to form that 1-2 punch that the Giants needed. So what did the Giants do? Well, they plugged in Aaron Robinson opposite of Adoree Jackson. Aaron Robinson, as he did in his rookie season, ended up getting hurt, suffered a season-ending knee injury. That's a concern moving forward, because I don't know the extent of the knee injury or what exactly he had, but when a cornerback has a knee injury, and if it was a serious one that ended the guy's season, I'm concerned about foot speed and whatnot. Now, that being said, I always thought that Aaron Robinson would be a better fit for the slot. And I found it kind of interesting that the Giants, you know, despite having Darnay Holmes, who is a feisty, you know, slot corner, not a very big guy, but feisty, plays big, but, you know, he could be a little grabby and whatnot. I always found it interesting that the Giants seem to try and draft to replace him, or sign free agents to try and replace him. To his credit, Darnay Holmes held on there. But if it were up to me, I think I would move Aaron Robinson and make him my primary slot cornerback. And Darnay Holmes, I don't know, if you're going to keep him, maybe put him in the dime package or something. I don't know. I wasn't ultra impressed with the play at the slot. You know, we can go back and we can look at the specific plays, including the one pass interference against, I think it was against Washington, that he got away with, that, you know, was clearly pass interference. And you can look at some other things, you know, penalties and stuff that he had for being grabby. But yeah, I would change that up a little bit. I would move Aaron Robinson inside to the slot cornerback spot. And I would look to add another cornerback opposite of Adoree Jackson. So, but let me talk about Adoree here. Adoree actually rose to the challenge of being the number one cornerback on this team. But my gosh, why? Somebody please tell me why they decided to have him returning punts. Now, I've said before, you can't coach scared. I get that. But you got to coach smart. Do you really want to put your top cornerback at a position where you already have injuries out there and expose them to potential additional risk? It never made sense. And when Adoree Jackson suffered that knee injury, I had flashbacks of Jason Sehorn. That's right. Anybody who saw that play with Jason Sehorn returning a kickoff because he wanted to do it and the coaches were fine letting him do it. You have, you know, every time you see a star player back there returning punts or kickoffs, you have those memories conjured up. So I don't think we'll see Adoree Jackson returning punts anytime soon for as long as he's a Giant, but they missed him. They absolutely missed him because what happened was, you know, when Aaron Robinson went down, Fabian Moreau, a veteran, stepped in. Now, Fabian Moreau was a nice complement to Adoree Jackson. Fabian Moreau could handle the bigger guys. The smaller, quicker guys, you want Jackson in there. All right. So when Fabian Moreau had to cover those smaller, quicker guys, it wasn't going to end well. And it didn't. So I had no problem with Fabian Moreau in the lineup. But to ask him to cover the number one receiver, you want Adoree Jackson doing that if he can. So I don't know. I just would look to upgrade and add another cornerback. And I do think they will add another cornerback. Cordell Flott, the rookie, he's another guy who dealt with injury issues, missed six games. He caught up to the speed of the game. So, you know, at first it looked like he was a little lost, but he eventually got up to speed with the speed of the game. Good feet. And he has a good nose for the football. And I think he's got potential to be a good cover corner. His size remains a question mark. You know, can the durability last? That we need to see. But the intangibles and the talent are there. So who knows? Maybe he could be a starter opposite of Adoree Jackson. I don't know that I would go that route. I would still upgrade regardless. I would still add somebody. But Flott, overall, not a bad, you know, showing for him, you know, considering I think he was mostly at a slot cornerback at LSU. So he could also be an option for the slot as well. Aaron Robinson, I mentioned him, second year in a row, injuries. Got to stay on the field. Got to stay on the field. And if he can stay on the field, I'd like to see him in the slot. Good height. You know, sometimes you see opponents putting a tight end or a bigger receiver in the slot. That's where Aaron Robinson, I think, can really step in and have a field day. Zion Gilbert, who was a undrafted free agent that made the roster. Feisty. Really like his feistiness and the fight. I don't think he had ideal athleticism. I see him more of as a special teamer than anything, but you know, if you need somebody in a pinch or in a sub package, he's, you know, certainly decent enough, I think, to have in there. Nick McCloud, I thought, had a solid game or a solid year for the Giants. Doesn't have the quick feet and he doesn't have ideal agility, but you know what? He was solid. He was in the right spot, took smart angles, you know, did a good job wrapping up tackling. So definitely a guy who I could see giving another chance to compete for a roster spot and actually keeping him as like a fourth or fifth cornerback on the depth chart. I mean, I didn't think Nick McCloud was that bad. But overall, folks, I got to give them a C. As a group. Again, the injuries, I know the injuries, I keep saying that, but I think the loss of Bradberry was something they just never recovered from. And I'm hoping this year that they have a plan to address that. because I think at times when the injuries started popping up, the lack of depth was exposed. And that's something that needs to be fixed moving forward. All right, special teams. Let's talk about that. I'm giving that unit a D. I think the only redeeming quality on special teams was Graham Gano. I mean, he was Mr. Reliable for the most part. But I have to be honest with you, folks. Gary Brightwell as a kickoff returner didn't do it for me. How many times did the opponents kick the ball off to and set it up so that Brightwell could return the ball? And how many times did Brightwell, when he did return the ball, not reach the 25-yard line? Too many, okay? And that was done on purpose because Brightwell just did not bring, you know, a whole lot as a kickoff returner. So that's a spot they need to upgrade. Punt returner, you know, they had Richie James doing the job, some ball security issues. He's, you know, got the job back after the Adoree Jackson injury, but I just think there has to be a better option out there. What that option is, I don't know, but there has to be something better. Punter, Jamie Gillen, great leg. If you needed him to flip the field because you were in your own territory, he could get it done. But as far as touch, wasn't happening. Too inconsistent. Just, I don't know what it was. I know, you know, every week, Thomas McGahee, the special teams coordinator, kept saying he was making progress. When it came to poaching and, you know, coffin corner kicking, you know, I'm not looking for a Jeff Fegels per se. Jeff Fegels was like the master at all that. But I was looking for consistency and he just didn't see it. Now, granted, it didn't help that some of the gunner play wasn't great, but you know, the punter's got to do his part. So I think, you know, if they bring Jamie Gillen back on a one-year deal, you better bring in competition for the guy. I never understood why he didn't have competition at all in training camp. I was very surprised by that, considering he didn't work out in Cleveland. And then he went to Buffalo and he wasn't able to rise off the practice squad. I don't think the Giants made that mistake twice. And then finally, got to talk about Casey Kreider, the long snapper. Kreider, for the most part, was solid. There were, however, a few times, if I'm being honest with you, which I am, where I thought his snaps were slow and low. And I don't know, I didn't think Casey Kreider had as good a season this year as he has had in past years with the Giants. The deep snap, there was one punt block, if I remember correctly, this season. And if I remember the play, the snap was very slow. It lacked zip. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if he had to adjust it. I don't know what was behind that, but the snaps just, if you watch it, it was just like, you know, I can't explain it. It's like the ball just was like tossed as opposed to zipped with any kind of priority or sense of urgency. So I don't know. You know, listen, Casey Kreider, I would bring him back regardless. I would give him competition though. I don't think he got competition last year. The Giants got to get better with their long snapping. It's been a problem, you know, it was mostly a problem this year. We saw a couple times last year where it was a problem. It's kind of hard, you know, when you've been spoiled by watching Zach Diossi for a number of years. Zach always had great speed on his snaps. Zach was always one of the first guys down the field. You know, a few times he was in the lead or the top three in special teams tackles. It's hard to replicate that. But, you know, the first thing that you want from your long snapper is consistency on the snaps. And I just don't think Casey Kreider, his snaps were consistent in that regard with in terms of speed. And when you have a slow snap combined with a slow windup and get off by your punter, that leads to trouble. All right. So we'll see if the Giants address that position, bring in competition I think they should for both the long snapper and the punter, because just too inconsistent for my tastes. One last note I'll make about special teams. And I've mentioned this before. Now, because of the injuries and because of circumstances, guys that maybe T-Mac was counting on having as part of his core were being removed because they had to play more on offense or special or on defense. That being said, you got to coach these guys up. And honestly, and I don't want to, you know, look, T-Mac is a great special teams coach, but honestly, special teams, I think the last 2 or 3 years, they've had their struggles. And I don't know if there are plans to make any changes, you know, maybe add another coach to assist, or I don't know what the plans are. I think at this point it might be safe to assume that T-Mac is coming back. Because if he was leaving, I think they would have made the announcement by now, but they got to get better all around on special teams. It just wasn't good enough this year. I think the only thing you can honestly say that was decent was when Gano was nailing his kickoffs into the end zone. But even there, you know, on coverage, how many times did the Giants give up a big kickoff return because of lane integrity? These are all things that can be coached. And if they were, you know, if these problems were going on late in the season, what exactly were you covering in practice and in the meetings? That's what I don't get. So, you know, look, I'm not ready to give up on T-Mac. I think he's a fine special teams coach, but they got to get better on special teams all around. All right. Those are my grades on defense and special teams. If you agree, drop a comment in the box below. If you are watching this on YouTube, or drop me an email and let me know what you think. I'm sure, you know, some of you have said that I've been too lenient with my grades. Some of you have said I've been too hard. Let me know what you think and why, if there's something you agree with or disagree with. So that'll do it for us here on the Locked On Giants podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in all this week. Make sure you tune in next week. We'll have all new shows as we continue bringing you coverage 5 days a week here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Until next week, have a great one.